special place in Montreal Canadiens fans' hearts for a guy like Alexei Kovalev when he was there. And Radulov is very early, as you point out, you know, starting to lay some of that groundwork of a nice relationship with the fans.
TSN's Bob McKenzie. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on the morning show here on TSN 690 with Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, and Rick Moffitt. He's also a teammate of Pierre Maguire's at NBC. Pierre is at MSG tonight. It's rivalry night. While the Canadians are taking on the Islanders in Brooklyn, it's the Bruins and Rangers at MSG. Welcome back. Game night, early start, 7 o'clock. A reminder again, the World Series game has also been moved up to an earlier 7 p.m. start because of bad weather in Cleveland, along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Mitch Melnick with you until then.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with six locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
I am excellent, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine. I know you're always energized, period, but especially so when you are at Madison Square Garden.
Hard place not to get energized to be in. It's a lot like the Bell Center in terms of the noise and the passion of the fan base, and, you know, it's got a lot of unique things to it. You have to walk up to the fifth floor to get to ice level. You got to take the elevator up to the ninth floor to broadcast the game if you're up in the booth. It's different. It's just really different in a good way. I just had a really nice chat with Chris Drury, who's the new assistant GM here, whose brother Teddy I coached in Hartford and in Ottawa, and I think the world of that family. And you know, it's amazing the type of people you run into here. So, no, it's a fun place. I always get excited to come here.
Those Bruins are reeling, Pierre. Malcolm Subban, almost on cue. We talked about him at the tail end of our conversation yesterday, being kind of all over the place. It seems that every time he gets a shot with Boston, he's on the bench before the game's over. And David Backes has got a swollen elbow. I don't think it's as bad as it's made out to be. He's certainly going to miss some time. So I know it's early, but this is things are not looking too rosy in Boston.
Backes is going to miss two games. He had surgery on a bursar sac. Anybody that knows that, it leads to a lot of swelling and fluid in the elbow joint. Most hockey players at some point in their career have something to do with that. They have to deal with that kind of pain. So he had that removed. He'll miss tonight, and he'll miss their next game in Detroit. Then they move on to Tampa and then Florida before they head home to play against the Rangers again. So he'll miss the next two games tonight and later on this week against Detroit. In terms of Malcolm Subban, Mitch, he looked a lot like Freddie Anderson last night in Toronto. Really uncomfortable. He was uncomfortable right from the start of the game. He was fighting pucks. Now, nothing beat him early, but once one goal went in, two more went in real fast. And the last one was a slap shot on a power play by Ryan Suter, and it just, that can't go in. That can't go in at that time of the game with no screen. It just, he was guessing. He really didn't read the play. So I don't know what they're going to do with him, but Zane McIntyre is starting tonight. He's a young kid from Thief River Falls, Minnesota, played at the University of North Dakota for Dave Haxtell for 3 years, and now he's in the National Hockey League getting an opportunity to play.
And that's why I asked you about him, and we'll get to the Habs, obviously, and the Islanders in Brooklyn in just a second, because, you know, you root for people. You don't want to see people struggle. Freddie Anderson in a new city, clearly there's an issue here. He's not that bad, but it's not a good way to start. Look at Brian Elliott, right? Brian Elliott was awful his first couple of games, but everybody knew he was going to bounce back, and he has. So, but he's got more of a track record, certainly, than Malcolm Subban is trying to establish himself here.
Well, and if you think about it, Malcolm Subban had a start in St. Louis, his first NHL start a while back, and he got lit up for three. And last night he gets his second start, and he gets lit up for three again and gets pulled. So his first two starts in the league haven't worked very well for him. I don't know what to tell you. Some guys just, they freeze. Other guys, it just takes some time to adjust. But I don't know if he's going to get thrown that long a lifeline. I really don't. This league is really hard, and when you don't play well and you're a young player, people can punt on you pretty quick. It's just the nature of this league right now.
Pierre, also on Anderson, I just want to get your take on one of the comments he made that I found a bit odd after he struggled last night. He was asked if he was asked to play a different style this season than he has played in the past, and he said he didn't want to get into much of that.
Well, I would hope not. Usually you don't mess around with goalies. I mean, sometimes you want him to be a little bit bigger in goal, but he's a big guy to begin with. Here's the one thing, and I said this on a bunch of different radio shows today. Mike Babcock coached Carey Price at the Sochi Olympics, and Mike Babcock coached Carey Price this fall in the World Cup. I'd be willing to bet a lot of money that Mike Babcock never told Carey Price how to play the position. I don't think he ever told J.S. Chiguer how to play the position. I'm pretty sure he never told Jimmy Howard or Peter Mrazek how to play the position. So I don't know if that's coming from a goalie coach. I don't know if that's coming from somebody above in the organization, or I don't know if that's just coming from, you know, they need him to be better and he misunderstood what they were saying. So I don't know where that comes from, but I'd be willing to bet if you ask Carey Price, did Mike Babcock ever tell you how he wants you to play? Carey would say, he never said a word to me about how he wants me to play.
It's Carey Price.
Freddie Anderson, before this year, was very good and never had issues playing in the league. So, I don't know where that comes from. And hopefully for him, he'll be able to get it back in the rails, because I think he's a very good person, having known him just a little bit. But I also know that he's a worker. He's not going to mail it in. He's a worker. But he's going to have to work his way out of this. His rebound control last night was terrible. He was guessing on a lot of shots, just like Malcolm Subban. And there were two goals that you can't really fault him on. You can't fault him on the Drouin goal, the last goal of the game. And I don't think you can really fault him on the Kucherov goal. I mean, that's just an amazingly skillful play by Kucherov and Stamkos. Those are two goals. I don't care who's in that. They're not stopping those plays.
Sticking with goalies, Zach Vukali got sent to the East Coast League earlier this week, Pierre.
It happens. It happens, my friend. Go ahead.
No, and you know, by extension, it's been a while since, you know, we talk about St. John's, and I can't talk in any kind of expert fashion about every game and every shift. I just don't see them play.
Right.
And I know that the philosophy of the organization is just develop them, play the same style, so when they get here, they're comfortable. But part of developing players is also developing winning habits. They don't win. They have a lot of trouble winning in St. John's, and so a lot of people are starting to wonder about the program there.
I wouldn't be that concerned about it. I'm going to use a case in point with a really good late friend of yours and mine, Jimmy Roberts. Jimmy Roberts was an amazingly successful coach in the American Hockey League, especially with Springfield, and his teams won championships there, back-to-back championships, believe it or not. And part of the team was Hartford Whalers own, part of the team was New York Islanders players. So you would think both those teams, the Islanders and the and the Whalers, would thrive because their team had won so much. Both those teams were stinky. They were stinky in the NHL, and their players were supposed to come up from those championship teams and do so well. They never did. So I don't know if you can equate American Hockey League success to NHL success, but I do know one thing that you nailed bang on. And that is, you want to create a winning culture with your young players. One of the things that helped Los Angeles, I'll give you the other side of it, that helped the LA Kings, when Bruce Boudreau had a lot of their kids coming up in Manchester, New Hampshire, those are the guys that really were the impetus. They were the core players for a lot of those Kings teams that won recently. And so you got to look at that.
Well, and it's also possible, again, and I say this without seeing them to offer any kind of definitive opinion, but it is possible that Sylvain Lefebvre is a real good hockey guy who's not a head coach.
Well, I think he's a really good coach. I've told you that before they hired him. Now, sometimes the message gets old. Sometimes he alienates, you know, not him, but people can alienate players. You don't know unless you're there, and I love the fact that you're qualifying that because I'm not there either. But I would tell you this from having watched him in Colorado, and that's, I think, the first time he was on your radar screen. He did a really good job, and I made sure I mentioned that on your broadcast, and I was really happy the Canadiens hired him just based on what I saw him do with a lot of the Colorado defensemen out there.
With Pierre McGuire in New York, Rangers Bruins, while the Canadiens are taking on the Islanders in Brooklyn. Rod?
So many coaches preach staying grounded when things are seemingly going well. Pierre, turn every game, if he can, into a one-game season. Have you seen teams that can, on occasion, struggle to handle success? And is there any indication the Canadiens might fall into that category?
I hope not. I mean, not now. Not with Shea Weber there. I mean, he's supposed to be, you know, the new elixir in terms of making sure there are no locker room situations or lack of leadership, and he's supposed to insulate Pacioretty, and I believe he will. So I don't see that being an issue for the team. My biggest worry is, again, lack of depth down the middle, and the power plays, inability to score with consistency. Those are the only two things that I believe can hold them back from being an elite team. Once we get going into the season here and we're getting to 20 games, once you get to 20 games, you'll have a better idea. But those are, I personally believe, barring an unbelievable rash of injuries, those are the only two things that can hold them back: lack of depth down the middle and lack of power play.
The Islanders, and we'll return to the Habs specifically in a moment, but the Islanders, what do you think they're going through here? We've heard nothing but complaints, right, since they moved to Brooklyn about the rink, about the transportation, now the ice. What do you think it's like going to work every day for these guys?
Well, it can't be easy, but one of the things I know is ownership. Mr. Ledecky, the new owner there, if you're an Olympics fan, Katie Ledecky is his niece. She's the gold medal sweetheart of U.S. swimming. He is an amazing man. I spent good portions of last Thursday with him at some meetings in New York. He's an awesome man. He is going to change a lot of things. His vision for the franchise is phenomenal. I think the players will know that if they don't already know it. He's reaching out to do everything he can to make it better and easier for these players to survive as New York Islander players playing in Brooklyn. The ice is not good. The building is okay. It's not great. It's okay. If you're into concerts or basketball,
right,
it's awesome.
Yeah.
But it's different for hockey. That's all. I would say this, though. Mr. Ledecky is a guy that can get whatever speed bumps they have, he can help them overcome those. I like their team. I think they've got some very good players going forward. I didn't like the fact they lost Matt Martin because it destroyed the line with Clutterbuck and Cizikas. And I didn't like the fact that they didn't keep Oposo, even though I'm starting to see some chemistry with Andrew Ladd and John Tavares and Josh Bailey. And that's a line the Canadians better pay attention to. But Mitch, I don't know how many people know this. They had an ownership change there. Mr. Ledecky will eventually be the Jeffrey Vinnick of the NHL in terms of ownership. And I think Mr. Vinnick, Mr. Molson, and Mr. Ledecky will eventually be some of the best owners in the league. And I can't stress it enough after the meeting I was in with them last Thursday.
It's kind of scary if you're a fan of the Habs to take on an Islanders team. You just mentioned Ladd and Tavares starting to click. That Andrew Ladd has yet to score his first goal of the season. You know that's coming right around the corner.
It is, and the one thing is that he's starting to get physical, and that's what he has to do to be effective. He doesn't have the same speed quotient he used to have. You got to think back to he's part of the 03 draft, and there's some miles on those players now, and Andrew's played a fair number of games. But I think Tavares' playmaking and Andrew's ability to dominate board play and get to the front of the net will be making a pretty tough combination to try to stop those guys. And Josh Bailey, you know, you'd have to look at all the games from the start of the year to now, but Josh Bailey had a very, very solid start for the Islanders.
So where do you put New York in your Eastern power rankings, Pierre? I mean, they're not in a rebuild, but they're not quite a heavy powerhouse yet. They're kind of in the middle from that point of view. Are they underdogs? Are they overdogs? Or are they just in the middle?
I think they're a team, if they can get some elite goaltending and they don't have anything happen to Tavares in particular. The Franz Nielsen defection to Detroit hurts him a little bit, but I think they'll find a way to overcome that. But I really think that if goaltending is going to be the issue for them, if they're going to be a middle-of-the-road team, then it's because they didn't get elite goaltending. If they're going to be above that, it's because they got elite goaltending.
How important is this for the Canadians specifically tonight? And Al Montoya, who's I don't think his career started there, but very early on in his career, he was with the Islanders for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay's already worked out at the Bell Center. They're waiting for the Canadians for tomorrow night.
Tampa looked good last night, too.
They sure did.
Tampa looked good. So you have to hope that maybe they had their Halloween party going after the game last night. I don't know.
That's what Gallo said, yeah. Sometimes it's a disadvantage to spend another day in Montreal.
That's right. I would have kept them in Toronto. They'll get ambushed. You know what? I've told you this a million times, and I feel strongly about this. Tampa Bay has tremendous respect for the Montreal Canadiens because their styles in terms of speed are pretty similar. And John Cooper, every time I visit with him, whether it's on the road or in Tampa, says the same thing. The Canadians are a team that has taught us a lot, and we have to learn our lessons from what Montreal taught us. And you know what? They've done that. I think they've done that, but they have a lot of respect for the Canadiens. They're not going to look past them. A
couple of other games tonight, and I know you love being in New York, and it's a short ride home afterwards, but how'd you like to be in Edmonton tonight for McDavid and Ovechkin?
I'd love that, especially with the other guys that are around Connor right now, and Milan Lucic is one of those people that I think makes a big difference there. I look at Adam Larson going in there, and he makes a big difference there. Cam Talbot has done tremendous things. You know, they had one loss to Buffalo where everybody overreacted, but since, you know, then they've really looked strong. So I'm going to watch that actually when I get home. So I'm excited about that actually.
And have you ever been associated with a team, Gallo? You've talked about this because I'm playing catch up on it, on what happened specifically that went through Nashville. They're in Anaheim tonight. We'll touch on Anaheim and a situation with them in a second.
Yeah, basically they were in Detroit and they had bad chicken soup here, and Ryan Johansson had to leave in the first period. I believe there was another player that had to leave during the game. Eight players ended up getting sick. Did you ever deal with a team where something that bad happened during the game or after a game?
We had an incident in Pittsburgh that I remember. I'm pretty sure we had one either in Hartford or Ottawa. I think it was Hartford. And I know in the American League, when I was down there during the lockout in the mid-90s, I was living in Prince Edward Island. I think I was there for almost 6 months. We had a little incident on the road where guys eat some bad food. It happens. It's just part of being on the road. You have to overcome it, but not easy to overcome. He's really difficult if you're a hockey player, no question.
Yeah, what's that guy who flings the octopus around before the game? I'm starting to think.
No.
How do you have bad chicken soup? There's no such thing as bad chicken. There's no
Al Sobotka,
right.
Is the man you're talking about. Yeah. Al Sobotka is as nice a man as you'll ever meet, and he has legendary, not small, but legendary barbecues outside Joe Louis that I've been fortunate enough to attend. And believe me, they are awesome barbecues, and nobody ever gets sick, ever.
Yeah, I think he put a little of that weird octopus into the chicken soup or something. That's what he would. All right, Pierre, Anaheim. What is you know, we've talked a lot about Trouba, but not as much about Hampus Lindholm. Do you think Mark Bergeron would be among the GMs who'd be interested in him?
Oh my gosh, every GM in the league wants Hampus Lindholm if they can get him. It's just the price point is probably going to be excessive. Just like I know a lot of people want Jacob Trouba. And I can tell you, and I don't like to mention players' names that are part of NHL teams. Both those players are obviously not playing for their respective NHL teams. Cam Fowler's name is now out there a ton. It was out there at the draft.
Right.
It is out there more than I've ever heard about him. And I had one NHL GM tell me last week he wants to be in the Cam Fowler sweepstakes, and he will do whatever it takes to try to get him. So there's a lot of stuff going on around the league right now with defenders, young ones in particular, like Fowler, like Lindholm, and obviously Trouba. Hampus Lindholm is a phenomenal talent, Mitch. He is a big body who can really skate, handle the puck. He came out of a smaller program in Rogla in Ängelholm, Sweden. He is a really, really talented young man, very good player.
Pierre, do you think there's anything to Alexei Yemelin being moved up to play with Shea Weber in regards to showcasing?
I don't think so. I think teams now want to get points in the bank early, win games, stabilize the start of their year. Showcase cinema might happen a little bit, but in Montreal's case, I'm surprised. I think that you are the one that I think correctly so at the start of the year said, who's going to be the perfect partner for Shea Weber? And I told you I thought it would be Andrei Markov. Well, they've gone in a different direction. They've decided to go, obviously, with Alexei Yemelin. And so I think you understand that. But, no, you were the one at the beginning of the year saying who's going to be the perfect partner.
I think he's going to have Markov's next. He's going to have rotating partners until they find somebody.
Well, I think Markov would be the perfect one. But we'll see. Alexei Yemelin the other night was really solid, obviously. And, you know, I watched Boston last night, just like you watched them on Saturday night, and they got steamrolled by Minnesota. But you see Montreal expose something that Boston doesn't have, overall top-end speed, and Boston's going to have to make an adjustment with their lineup. I don't know what's going to happen here tonight against the Rangers, but I think Montreal, Tampa, and the Rangers are probably, and Pittsburgh, are probably the four fastest teams in the Eastern Conference. And so it's going to be tough for some of these teams that don't have a lot of speed to compete against those teams.
Have fun at MSG, as you always do, and we'll talk about all the games tonight, tomorrow, and much more. Thank you, Pierre.
Thanks a lot, my friend. Have a great night, everybody.
And the face-off won by Derek McKenzie. He drives it up the near wing of his own end, but not out. Malkin battling for it, got a man right in front of him. Shot score! The Penguins, Crosby gets the goal with a new skate, and the Penguins make it 2-1. Oh, scratch my back with a hacksaw. The Penguins get on the board.
You ever try that?